Give it everything you got. The are. The mystery lavishes are. As deep cries out too deep, or desperately was. The things of earth stand next to him like a candle to the sun.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? It's good to see you this morning. You know, this is the time in our service where we have our prayer and our praise. And I want to encourage you, when you come to church on Sunday, if you have any kind of a praise report, to fill out this card, Pray and Praise, because you know it's good to give thanks to the Lord for what He's done, and it's also encouraging to other people when they hear what the Lord has done for you. It encourages them. Amen, somebody. And if you have a prayer request, write it down on one of these cards, and this is the time where we want to pray for you. And the good thing about writing it down is it enables us to follow up and call you and find out how you're doing and keep on trusting God with you. So is there anyone that has a praise report today? I have a prayer request. Does anybody have a praise report? Can anyone tell what good things the Lord did for you this week? Nobody? No praise reports. The Lord did nothing for nobody this week. Not one thing for anybody in this house. You don't want to give God any praise for what He did. Is that what you're telling me? Yes, tell us, Rachel. I'd love to hear a praise report.
On Wednesday, I was driving with my two kids in the car. As some of you know, I have four boys. One of them is 21 and drives a motorcycle. And as I was driving, as clear as could be, I saw a vision of him on the motorcycle crashing in front of me. And I had enough time to get out of my car, run to him, put his head on my lap. He looked at me and said, "I love you, Mom." And he breathed his last breath. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was warning me, pray in the Spirit right now. So I just began to pray in the Spirit, and I'm driving my two kids, and I'm just at peace and a calm. I mean, you would think that you'd start freaking out and just go hysterical, but just such a peace and a calm, and just praying in the Spirit. And then I felt it lift, and so I went on about my business with the kids, what we had to do, came home. Later on that afternoon, I see Elijah, and I said, "Elijah, what were you doing at this time frame?" And he said, "I was driving to the motorcycle repair shop to get a repair." And I said, "You were almost killed, weren't you?" And he says, "Well, I came through an intersection and a semi-truck took a wide turn and went four lanes and I couldn't stop. But I saw it coming and I veered and I got out." And just the confirmation, I said, "You were going to die today." And God showed me to pray. So when you see a vision or you have a dream that something that seems deathly, don't fear. You take it as a warning to pray in the Spirit.
Rachel, thank you. You know, I remember when Luke, my son, who's now 30, what was he like? 5 years old, 4 years old, four or five? Similar thing happened to my wife. She had a dream, wasn't it? You had a dream, Okay, I'm going to get to that. Question number one. You had a dream. You had a dream, and in the dream, you saw Luke getting hit by a car. And then when we went to church, somebody came to you, and they said they also had a dream that Luke was hit by a car. And so we prayed, and of course, the Lord protected him. Here's the thing, you know, sometimes you may not have a dream, or you may not have a vision, but down here in your heart, something's telling you to pray. I always encourage you to obey that. You know, we'll never know the things that God protected us from that we didn't realize. But as we prayed, the angels of God protected us. Amen? Say this with me. Say this. Say, Father, I thank you that your angels surround me, protect me and my family and my children everywhere we go in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have a prayer request. Please pray for my dad, Rich, for healing in his blood. His body needs to make blood, the bone marrow to heal. And that is from Rachel, Jared, and from Deanne. It's for her father. Right. So we're going to pray. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come out here real quick and come and stand here and help me pray for people. And I'm going to ask you, if you need healing, if you need healing in your body, I'm going to pray right now. And I believe the healing power of God is going to flow through your body. As we pray for Rich, we're going to pray for you too. So if you need healing, the Lord is our healer. Come and let us pray and agree with you. Father, we thank you that you are a healer. You are our healer. You've taken our sickness. Lord Jesus, on that cross, by your wounds, we have been healed. And you said that the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You said, Lord, the things that you've done, we will do, and greater things than these will we do. And so right now, Father, we pray for Rich, for Deanne's dad. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, let your healing power flow through his body. We curse this leukemia, this cancer. We command you to go from his blood. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now for healing Rich, for raising him up, for restoring his health. We give you alone all of the praise. We give you alone all of the glory. Lord, thank you right now for healing people in this room. I rebuke sickness. I rebuke disease. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that your healing anointing is flowing through this room, touching people's bodies, healing them, restoring them, bringing strength, bringing wholeness, bringing health, bringing freedom. Thank you for setting people free, Lord. Oh, free from addictions, free from bondages, free from depression. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with joy, filling us with peace. Thank you for your spirit that is moving in this place today. Lord Jesus, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Everybody shouted out amen. Come on, give God praise today. Give him a shout. Put your hands together and praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You know, as we sing, as we sing this final song, it's called Touch of Heaven. You know, that's what we're here for this morning, to have heaven touch us and to touch heaven. Can you say amen? We came to meet with God today, and he came to meet with you. You know, the young man who wrote this song, his name is Aidan King. He was at Courtney's wedding on Thursday, and I was talking to him. What a wonderful young man. He's about 25 years old, and I said to him, Aiden, I was going to tell you, your song, Touch of Heaven, is one of my favorite songs. I just love it so much. Most of the time when I have my prayer time, I'm sure going to listen to that song for sure. I just love it. And I want to encourage you, family, listen, to worship the Lord with us as we sing this final song. Get lost in worship today. Put aside everything else that's on your mind. What has happened last week? Or maybe what you have to do tomorrow. Forget about that right now. And put all your attention on worshiping Jesus. Focus on Him today. Because let me tell you, when you worship Him, He will touch your life. When you worship Him, He will be attracted to you. God inhabits our worship. He loves when we worship Him. So we're going to sing this. We're going to sing it together. Lift your hands as we sing. Lift your voice. Lord, I'm desperate for more of You. I live, Lord, to be in Your presence. Thank You for speaking to us, touching us today in Jesus' name. Come on, Bobby, lead us. Let's sing. Yes, Lord.
You're the fire in the morning. You're the cool in the evening. The breath in my soul. All the life in my bones. My desire is to know You deeper.
Jesus, have your way in me now.
You know what I love about this? When we sing about wanting a touch from heaven, it's not just a little Sunday experience. It's an experience where you have a touch from God that carries into the week, that you have moments like Rachel was explaining, where your heaven reaches down into the depths, into the everyday life, into your children, into your household, into everything that you're doing. When we call for a touch from heaven, we just want to draw closer to the Lord, right? We want him to draw closer to him. We want him to become more sensitive, to hear his voice, to follow his leading. Amen. That's when we draw, we take these moments and we draw closer to him, and it carries over, it spills over into whatever we're doing in the week. Amen. Thank God for his presence. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Well, welcome to church today. We're just going to take, this is our mingle minute. Just take a moment, go and greet somebody. Tell them how good it is to see them. Well, good to see you this morning. You're looking good. It's good to be in church, isn't it? Praise God. Well, just want to welcome you. Want to welcome everyone. Anyone who may be visiting us for the first time, we love having visitors in our church, don't we? If you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone visiting for the first time today? I don't know if I see anyone. Sometimes no. Are you here for the first time? God bless you. Welcome. Come on, let's welcome them. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, James. Did you see where? Wave your hand so he can get a gift bag to you. Thank you so much. We're glad. We love having visitors. We hope that something in the service speaks to you and encourages you today. Amen. In that little gift bag they're going to give you, there's a card. If you just take a moment and fill it out at the end of the service, we'll receive an offering. Just drop that in the offering when we'd love you to love to give you a call, find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. Praise the Lord. Do you want to come up here, my dear? Our praise report is thank God for what he does. It's such a, as a parent, you're so thankful when God works in the lives of your children, right? And so we had a big week this week, right, Pastor?
Yes,
we had
did.
A big week.
Yes, we did.
What did we do? You seem unsure.
No, my daughter got married on Thursday, right? You tell us about it.
Okay,
I'm going to be talking a lot today.
You're going to be talking a lot? All right, I could do that. Just put up a picture for us. Thanks, Miguel. This was on, I'm going to give you a little run through, okay? Do you mind? Do you want to see a couple of pictures? So we flew to California. Courtney's our youngest daughter, and she lives in right in Hollywood. And she went out there straight, dropped out of college and went out there, much to our disgust. But God was in it, actually, and different things had happened. So on Thursday morning, we went and got ready with her. That's Selena Gomez. We were at her house. We had makeup and hair and all of that, and where is my husband gone? There he is. Steve. he was shuttled to the wedding with security and all of that. Let's see another one. Thank you. That was just them getting ready. Lots of fun. Okay, move it on. Thanks, Miguel. We were getting ready. Don't you look beautiful? Okay. Let's go. That was us in the back room, right? One more. That's her dad. How about that? So beautiful. Thank you. Did you cry?
I did not. I did not cry this time.
You get a bit of practice four times down the road, right? That was going into the wedding. It was beautiful downtown LA. Just jump in anytime you want to. That was That was quite a moment that Sam, her husband, he was when he saw her coming in, and he was really moved. That's Brooke Fraser, she's known by, but Brooke and Scotty Ledgerwood, and she writes most of the songs that we listen to on Hillsong. She wrote What a Beautiful Name It Is. She wrote, she's won Grammys for the beautiful song she's written for the Kingdom of God. And they performed the wedding, so that was beautiful. Let's move it on. That was them looking so gorgeous. That was him. Sam's hilarious because they were friends for a long time. And he said this was how to go from the friend zone to the end zone. So he was like, he's at the end zone. So that was the excitement over there. Let's go on. That was the two of them outside. That was the reception area. Beautiful. And we had there was a photo booth set up. And so this was family, a few just different shots from you see the Cartwrights. It was very interesting to be in a Hollywood wedding because they came in and said to her, there's drones flowing overhead with paparazzi, and they had to black out the sun roof. What do they call them?
Skylight.
Skylight. They had to black out all the skylights because they were filming from the top. Just go back to that one. There's it's a young group over there, but if you realize, Pastor Steve was talking about the young guy that wrote that song that we just sang, that's the Aiden on the left, the bottom. The guy at the top, he's Shawn Mendes' manager. That's Niall Horan from One Direction and Selena Gomez, a few other people. Let's move that on. Let's see the next one. Nate Brown in the middle, he does all the stage design for Kanye West, all the different people. Just a lot of influences right there. Next one. This is the church world. She runs Young and Free. That's pastor's wife from Hillsong LA and New York. And Natalie Manuel has a TV show, a Christian TV show, talk show. Brooke at the top there. Let's see the next one. Do you mind me giving details?
No, not at all.
That's Nanny. That's Pastor Steve's mom with the girls. One more. Daddy. Go again. Grandchildren.
Our grandchildren.
Our grandchildren. Just to clarify, not just anybody's grandchildren. Well, they were the only kids allowed there, and at 7:30, the babysitter took them home, which was wonderful. That's our son Luke and his son Roman. And that's our kids with Sam. Let's go on. That's Pastor Ben and Lucille Houston. From LA, Hillsong. That's us, the happy parents. That's us with our grandkids, all the boys. That's the Cartwrights. I'll show you Abel's picture. He did some funny ones, and that's just the happy couple. So there you go. That's a parent brag. That was our week. So our best part, my praise report, is that the girl who went out to Hollywood and has had all kinds of situations that she could have gotten into ended up marrying a preacher, and that's my praise report. So
yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Prudential, could I ask you please to bring that table up on the stage for me if you don't mind? Wonderful. That's great. Thank you so much. Are you ready for God's word this morning, everybody?
Yes.
Anyone bring their Bible to church with them today? If you did, wave it around like this. It's always good to bring your Bible to church. Make sure what I'm saying is in that book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful. Your word is a lamp to our feet, and it is a light unto our path. Your word brings direction and guidance to our life. And Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit whom you've given us. Because Holy Spirit, I look to you. I trust in you to help me, to anoint me, speak through me today. Bring revelation and understanding to every person hearing this, Father. I thank you that faith will rise up big in every heart
and all doubt and all fear will be removed. And Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to speak to you about, this morning I want to speak about miracles in your mouth. Miracles in your mouth. In Mark chapter 5, there's an amazing story, amazing account. In verse 25, it says, in the crowd that day, there was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years, and she endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, it says, and yet in spite of spending all that she had on their treatment, she was not getting any better, but worse. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd, and she came up behind him, and she touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying to herself, She kept on saying, if I only touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. She kept saying, if I only touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her hand touched him, the Bible says, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel it in her body, instantly being healed of her disease. And it says Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. That's an awesome statement right there, family. He turned and he spoke to the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples answered, they said, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you. Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd looking for the one who had touched him for healing. And it said, when the woman who experienced this miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before him trembling with fear. She threw herself down at her feet and she said, I was the one who touched you. And she told him her story of what had just happened. And it says, Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Whose faith healed her? Your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering. Now, family, this is a very powerful portion of Scripture because we see here that it was her faith that healed her, that the miracle was in her mouth, that she initiated the miracle with her words. Jesus didn't say, go tell that lady, if she will come and press through the crowd and touch me, I'll heal her. Jesus didn't. She's the one who, she initiated it. She said it. Do you know that our words have creative power? Do you know that when you speak something out, you are giving it the right to come to pass in your life? It's one thing to believe that you healed, but when you say, I am healed, that's what releases the healing. It's not enough just to believe you're blessed, believe you have favor. It's one thing to believe it. It's another thing when you begin to declare it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the Scriptures when it says, first I believed and then I spoke in faith. First I believed and then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe and then we speak in faith. Amen? See, the spirit of faith is in your words. When you say, I am blessed, I have favor, I'm coming out of debt. Let me tell you, the angels go to work. Good breaks begin to find you. The right people start tracking you down. And you can think positive and you can believe for favor. That's good. But nothing happens until you begin to say it out of your mouth. The miracle is in your mouth. Say, the miracle is in my mouth. There's healing in your mouth. There's freedom in your mouth. There's new levels in your mouth. Amen. If you're fighting an illness, it's easy to focus and talk about what the medical report says, how bad it looks. Oh, I don't think I'm ever going to get well. The doctor says this. The medical report says that. Listen, when you speak that, you're calling in more sickness. You're calling in more defeat. You need to change what you're saying. Joel 3 verse 10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. Notice it doesn't say, let the weak say, you know, let the weak call five friends and,
and talk about their weakness and discuss the problem. No, that's giving life to the negative. I'm not asking you to deny the facts. I'm asking you just say what God says about you. Yes. Just agree with Him. Your report should be, God is restoring health to me. Because that's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 30, verse 17. Your report should be the number of my days He will fulfill. Because that's what it says in Exodus 26. By His wounds I was healed. That's what God says in 1 Peter 2, 24. By the wounds and stripes of Jesus you were healed. So we need to declare and say what God says about us. It's not enough just to not say anything negative. You've got to be on the offensive. All through the day you've got to be quoting Scripture. When someone asks you how you're doing, don't give them a sad song. Oh, it's so hard. I don't understand it. I'm so tired. I don't understand this. No, your report should be, I'm healed. With long life, God will satisfy me. What He started in my life, He's going to finish. Amen. See, you may not feel healed, and you may feel weak, but declare you are strong in the Lord. Get in agreement with Him. Release that miracle that's in your mouth. There are miracles in your mouth waiting to be released. Someone said, well, Steve, when I break this addiction, oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell everybody what the Lord did. No, you've got to tell them first. Every day you've got to say, I am free. I am clean. That addiction does not control me. Every time you say, I am free, you know what? In the unseen realm, chains are being broken. Strongholds are being loosed. Freedom is heading your way. You keep on speaking it and you will become what you're saying. You are actually prophesying your future. Yes. You know, when David defeated Goliath, it was Goliath was twice David's size. I mean, almost literally, he was almost 10 feet tall. It wasn't a coincidence that David looked at Goliath and he said to him in 1 Samuel 17, he said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. All this assembly shall know the Lord does not save with sword or with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. If you read it from the Message translation, the Message Bible says it like this. David answered, you come at me with a sword and a battle axe, but I come at you in the name of the God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and whom you mock. This very day God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, serve up your body and the bodies of the Philistine buddies to the crows and the coyotes. The whole earth will know there is an extraordinary God in Israel. And everyone gathered here will learn God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. He is handing you to us on a platter. Now listen, David wasn't just being positive. David wasn't just talking smack. David understood this principle, the miracles in his mouth. He had to release the victory. I wonder what would have happened if David would have said, wow, I thought I wanted to face Goliath, but look how big he is. I don't even have any armor. I don't feel qualified. I don't think I have a chance. There's no way I can beat him. If David would have talked defeat, I don't think we'd be talking about David today. I don't think we'd even know who David is. If he would have just thought positive, well, I believe I can do it. I believe I've got what it takes. He wouldn't have defeated Goliath. He knew he had to speak it. He said, I will defeat you. The Lord is giving you into my hand. The Lord is fighting this battle. See, you might have a giant in your path. Maybe it's a giant of debt. Or maybe it's a giant of depression. Or maybe it's a giant of sickness. But listen, like David, you need to announce to that giant, I will defeat you. You will not keep me from my destiny. The forces that are for me are greater than the forces that are trying to stop me. The Lord is fighting my battles. The Lord is on my side. See, in Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus said, if two of you on earth agree concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. There's power in agreement, family. Let me tell you, but David didn't have anyone to agree with him. I mean, his brothers looked down on him. They thought he was too small. His father saw him as less than, like he'd never amount to very much. King Saul didn't think he had a chance. Nobody was there to encourage and agree with David to say, hey, David, you can do this. We believe in you. You got what it takes. Do you know there are times, like with David, where you can't find anyone to agree with you? But I've learned that if you'll come into agreement with God, and if you'll come into agreement with yourself, if you'll get your heart and your mouth in agreement, and if you'll start speaking victory out of your mouth, declaring you are well able, declaring you are blessed, declaring you will defeat the addiction, do you know what? Even though others don't agree, because you're in agreement with yourself and because you're in agreement with God, you will see giants defeated in your life. You will accomplish dreams that others thought and said was impossible. Listen, don't be discouraged because nobody's cheering you on and nobody sees what you see. Sometimes God puts things in your heart that other people don't understand, that other people don't see. It seems so big. It seems impossible. And instead of encouraging you, they'll do just the opposite. You really think you can beat that sickness? I don't know about that. My grandma, she died of the same thing, you know. You still think you're going to have that baby after all these years? You're kind of getting up there, you know. You really believe you can build that orphanage? You really believe you can write that book? You really think you can do that? Lead your company in sales? Move into that nice neighborhood? I just don't see it. The good news is they don't have to see it. You don't need them to agree with you, family. Come into agreement with yourself. Come into agreement with God. Get your heart and your words going in the right direction, family. Start talking like it's going to happen. You have to say it before you're going to see it. I said you got to say it before you're going to see it. Amen. When David went out to face Goliath, all the Israeli army and all the army of the Philistines, they were all watching. Here was this teenager with no military training, no experience, young, 17 years old, small. He looked like a boy. In front of all of them, he had the audacity to say with confidence, Goliath, I will defeat you. Yeah. I mean, some of them made fun of him, ridiculed him. Goliath even laughed and said, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick, talking about David's staff, sending this little boy? Is this all you got? Is this the best you got? Let me tell you, the people around you, they may not see the greatness that is on the inside of you. People around you may judge you by the outside, by your size, by your experience, by your background, by your nationality. Don't let them talk you out of what God has put down in your heart, family. Do like David. Keep speaking the victory in spite of what the naysayers would think. Keep declaring your vision in spite of what the experts are telling you. Listen, they don't know what God put down on the inside of your family. Don't let their negative words stop you from speaking positive, faith-filled words over your life. In the scripture, an angel appeared to Zechariah and told him that his wife was going to have a baby. And he told him, the angel told him, you must name the baby John. It would be John the Baptist. And Zechariah was surprised because his wife was unable to have children. And plus, they were too old to have a baby. And so Zechariah says to the angel in Luke chapter 1, he said, how can I be sure that this is going to happen? The Living Bible says it like this. Zechariah said to the angel, this is impossible. I'm an old man now. And my wife also is well along in years. This is impossible. How can that happen? If you read it from the Passion Bible, Zechariah said, how do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man and my wife is too old to give me a child. What sign can you give me to prove this will happen? It's amazing. People want a sign. God, give me a sign. I need a sign. He gave you a sign already. It's right here in the Bible. He already said it. How many signs do you need? Lord, give me a sign. That's what the angel said. The angel said to Zechariah, I am Gabriel, and I stand beside God himself, and he sent me to announce to you this good news. But he said, but since you did not believe my words, You will be stricken silent and unable to speak until the day my words have been fulfilled at their appointed time and the child is born to you. That'll be your sign. Here's a sign for you. You're not going to be able to say anything for 9 months. There's your sign. Some of you, we need that. Some people out here need not be able to say anything for the next 9 months. Why is that? Why did the Lord do that? Because that's how powerful your words are. You see, think about it. God knew if Zechariah went around talking doubt, talking defeat, I don't see how this is going to happen. We're too old. It would have kept the baby from being born. God has put dreams and promises in your spirit that seem impossible. They seem so big. You don't see how it could ever happen. That's where Zechariah was. He couldn't see how it could happen. You may say, I don't have the resources. I don't have the experience. I don't have the connections. Listen, don't do like Zechariah did and talk yourself out of the miracle. Rather, get in agreement with God and start declaring what God says about you. Agree with what He says. Can you say amen? If you're facing an illness, and maybe there's no sign of it getting better, you're right where Zechariah was. How can this happen? Pastor Steve, the medical report says no way. Listen, God has done His part. Now it's up to you to do your part. Father, I thank You that You're my healer. I thank You that You can do what medicine cannot do. You see, maybe your dream seems impossible. The odds are against you. It's so easy to get negative and dismiss it. But I encourage you to turn that around today. Father, I thank You. You're opening doors that nobody can shut. I thank You. You're putting me at the right place at the right time. I thank You that what You promised me, it is on its way, Lord. See, sometimes you're saying the right words. You're speaking faith, but nothing's improving. There's no sign of it getting any better. Pastor Steve, what do I do? Hebrews 10, verse 23 tells you what to do. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. The God's Word translation says it like this. We must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. Just keep on holding fast to your declaration of faith. The Passion Bible says we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps His promises. You see, that implies when the Bible says hold fast to the declaration of your faith, that implies that something is going to try and take it away. It's like a tug of war. Have you ever played tug of war? Some people on that side of the rope, some people on this side of the rope, with a tug of war. That's what it's like. The enemy is on the other end. He's trying to pull away what God put in your heart. He's trying to take away from you your declaration of faith. You might have had that sickness a long time. Hold fast to your confession. Don't get talked out of it. Keep declaring the Lord is restoring my health. Keep speaking victory. I'm healed. I am whole in the name of Jesus. Or maybe you're in debt. And you keep on speaking abundance. In trouble, keep on speaking favor. In addictions, keep on speaking freedom. Every time you declare the victory, you're getting closer to the miracle. Every time you say I'm healed, you're moving toward healing. Every time you say I'm blessed, you're moving toward increase. You're moving toward promotion. Every time you say I'm free, I will not be controlled by this addiction, by this anger, by this alcohol. You are moving toward freedom. You are moving toward breakthroughs, wholeness. It may not have happened yet, but keep releasing the miracle. Hold fast to your confession of faith. Can you say amen, somebody? You see, your words are like seeds. In the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, Jesus told the parable. He said the sower sows the word. You see, when you speak something out, you are planting seeds. And those seeds begin to take root and they begin to grow. In Proverbs chapter 18, it says a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Notice, my mouth produces fruit. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The contemporary English version says you will get everything you say. Go back to it. You will eat everything you say. And the Good News translation says you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. If you don't like what's happening in your life, you need to look at what you're saying over your life. Amen. How many of you know fruit is not developed overnight? How many know fruit doesn't grow overnight? It takes time, right? You see, eventually you are going to become what you are saying. Jesus told us that in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have, she will have whatever he says." Jesus said, whatever you say, when you believe what you're saying, you're gonna have what you say. That's what Jesus said. Now, here's the question. Are you planting good seeds with your words? Are you speaking faith-filled words over yourself, over your dreams, over your children, over your health, over your finances? You got to talk like it's going to happen. Not, well, Pastor Steve, I'm going to be healed one day. No. You got to say, Lord, I thank you that I am healed. Maybe you think, well, Steve, this sounds good, but, you know, I'm struggling. I just can't seem to get ahead. The problem is you're planting the wrong seed. The fruit of those words is lack and not enough. Why don't you start declaring, I'm surrounded by God's favor. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Promotion is looking for me. Good breaks are tracking me down. I am excited about my future. See, if you do that, if you begin to speak like that, you better get ready, because doors are going to open that you couldn't open. God is going to show out in your life. Amen. David said in Psalm 35 in verse 27, he said, "Let them shout for joy and let them be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually." How often? Continually. How often should they say it? Every now and then? Continually. Let them say continually. Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. They were supposed to go around continually saying this. It seems like if they said it once, that would be good enough. But something powerful happens when you go through your life not talking about how you never get good breaks, how your back will never stop hurting. Instead, all through the day, you're declaring, God takes pleasure in prospering me. New doors are opening for me. I am strong. I am healthy. I am energetic. My children are mighty in the land. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me tell you, when you continually say that, you're releasing miracles with your mouth. You know, Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt for many years. And when he was about to die, he made his family promise that they would take his body out of Egypt and they would bury him in the promised land. Now, look at Hebrews 11, verse 22. It says, it was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, he said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they lived. It says, by faith, he confidently said, we're going to be leaving Egypt. Now, you got to understand, this is hundreds of years before it happened. I said this is hundreds of years before Moses, because you see, Joseph had favor with Pharaoh and he was prime minister of Egypt. But the day came when a new Pharaoh came and he enslaved the Israelites for hundreds of years. Joseph, it says, by faith, he confidently said, we're coming out of Egypt, and make sure you take my bones and bury them in the promised land. Now, that is very powerful stuff, family. He confidently said the Israelites are going to leave Egypt before they even were slaves. You know, when we lost our building on Center Street, how many of you remember me saying, we're going to get a better building? And it's going to be in a better location. And our mortgage payment is going to be half the payment. How remember me saying that? Let me tell you, I've thought a lot about that lately. And I thought, why did I say that? Where did it come from? Jesus didn't appear to me and say, Steve, you're getting a better building. It's going to be on Indian Town Road. Don't worry about it. A man named Joe is going to give you a call. I didn't open the Bible and it said, Steve, you're going to get a better building, better location, half the mortgage. Where did it come from? It came out of here. Down in my spirit, God put that in my heart. The Lord spoke it in my heart, and I just said it. I just said it. We're getting a better building, and it's going to be in a better location. How many of you believe we're in a better location right now? How many think we've got a better building right now? And how many know that our mortgage is half what it was on Center Street? Give God praise, somebody. Come on. Give God praise. Let me tell you, there were plenty of people that didn't think we had a chance. Not just our critics, but even some experts. But deep down, I knew God put this in my heart. So I announced it. I just begin to declare, we're getting a better building. It's going to be a better location. It's going to be half the mortgage. It didn't happen overnight. I just kept on saying it. I kept declaring God is supplying all of our needs. My God, thank you. You supply all of our needs. I kept thanking God for giving me favor. There were plenty of times I didn't see how it's going to ever work out, to be honest with you. I was tempted to talk about what I saw. I didn't see how it could happen. All the odds were against us. But I kept declaring, thank you, Lord, that you are supplying all of our needs. We need a building. Thank you for supplying us with a building. I kept telling the congregation it won't be long till we move into our new facility. It won't be long. You see, you've got to talk like it's going to happen. I understand this principle that we give life to what we say. If you start speaking the negative and agreeing with the doubt and talking about how big the problem is, you're giving life to the wrong things. Your words can actually keep you from your destiny. There should be some things that God has put in your heart. Like Joseph, you confidently speak it out before it even happens. When you don't even see any sign of it. Then maybe there's no sign of it right now. But down in your spirit, you know you're going to get well. You know you're going to meet the right person. You know your family is going to be restored. Now you've got to do like Joseph. You've got to speak it before it even happens. Not afterward, when things begin to improve. You've got to release the miracle. It's in your mouth. One day, when I wasn't expecting it, I got a phone call from a man named Joe Siegel. And you all know what happened. He said, I got a building that I want to sell you. You don't need a bank. I own the building. I'm going to finance it. He said, you don't need a down payment. I mean, it was just seemingly too good to be true. And here we are today, family. Thank God. Praise God. Amen. Was that the end of my speaking in faith? No. Because we got the building, and I kept declaring, my God supplies all my needs. My God supplies all my needs. My God. Because when we got this building, we didn't have money to renovate, and we've spent $350,000 renovating, and God supernaturally provided the money, and you all thank you for giving, thank you for obeying what he told you to do. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. See, the psalmist said, in Psalm 91, verse 2, the psalmist said, I will say of the Lord. Say, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my God. He is my fortress. In him I will trust. Then if you read on in Psalm 91, it lists all the great things that will happen. How God will shield you from evil. How God will protect you from your enemies. How God will deliver you. How he will reward you. How he will honor you. But God puts a condition on it. In verse 9, if you read it from the New International Version, it says, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling place, then these things will happen for you. If you will say, the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my protector, the Lord is my healer, the Lord is my deliverer, the Lord is my provider. Then no harm will overtake you. Then he will give his angels charge over you. Can you say amen, somebody? It implies if you don't say it, it's not going to happen. Something supernatural happens when you say, Father, I thank you, you're my protector. I thank you, you're my provider. I thank you, you're my healer. I thank you, you are my way maker. I thank you that you're bigger than this problem. I thank you that you're bringing my dreams to pass. I thank you, you're fighting my battles. I thank you, you're going before me, and you're making the crooked path straight. Let me tell you, when you say it, the creator of the universe goes to work. I wonder what would have happened. What if I had said, Or what if I had not said, we're going to get a better building in a better location and it's going to be half the mortgage payment? I wonder if I hadn't said that. I wonder if it would have happened. I don't think so. You know, in the scripture, a teenage girl named Mary became pregnant, not by a man, but by a word from God. An angel appeared to her and said to her, Mary, you are highly favored, and you're going to conceive, and you're going to have a baby without knowing a man. And he's going to be the Messiah. He's going to be the Son of God. Do you know when God wants to create, he doesn't use material things. He uses words. Mary could have looked at that angel, and like Zechariah did, she could have said, no way, that's impossible. How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How's that possible? It can't happen. But look at Mary's response in contrast to Zechariah's response. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. Mary, if you read from the Passion Bible, I love it from the Passion Bible, it reads a little different. It says, then Mary responded saying, this is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you've told me come to pass. A little different response to Zechariah. Zechariah says, I can't understand. I don't see how this can happen. It's just impossible. Mary says, Lord, let it be according to what you say. She got in agreement with God. She used her words to confirm what she heard, not to debate what she heard. Listen, family, when God puts a promise in your heart, just agree with it. Don't debate with God. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you have been healed. And the Passion Bible says our instant healing flowed from his wounding. So don't debate that. Whoa, Pastor Steve, what if I don't feel healed? But the medical report hasn't changed. No, do like Mary. Lord, I thank you that I am healed. Be it unto me even as you've said, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, God says because you keep him first place and because you obey what he says, you will lend and not borrow. You will be above and not beneath. Don't debate it. Well, Pastor Steve, I never get any good breaks. My boss doesn't even like me. Instead, say, Lord, I thank you that I'm prosperous. I thank you that I have more than enough. I thank you that I am blessed. I'm blessed so I can be a blessing. Amen? Amen. Listen, family, it's not complicated. Just get in agreement with God. You can't talk defeat and have victory. You can't talk lack and have abundance. You can't talk sickness and have health. The miracle is in your mouth. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says the earth was without form and the earth was void and there was darkness on the face of the deep. And it says, and God said, let there be. What did God say? Come on, this is not a trick question, family. Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. That happened on day one of creation. Do you know that it wasn't until day four that God created the sun and the moon? That meant for 3 days, whether it was a literal day of 24 hours or whether it was like a thousand years, because the Bible says that a day with the Lord is like a thousand years and a thousand years is like a day. So I don't know whether it was 24 hours or whether it was a thousand years that the day. Either way, for three of those days, there was light with no sun and with no moon. You don't believe it? Go read it and check it out. That means when God speaks, his words are so powerful, family, that things will happen where there's no explanation. How can you have light without a source? Because God is supernatural, that's why. Because when God speaks things over your life, they may not be able to be explained. You can't explain how you have a baby and you never knew a man. The medical report in 1981, Dodie Osteen, Pastor Joel's mother, was told that she wouldn't live. She had cancer, and they said that there was no way that she. They gave her months to live in 81. But God said, "You will live and not die, and you will proclaim the works of the Lord." And she began to just say what God said. Medically speaking, it couldn't be explained. The only explanation is that we serve a God who is all-powerful, because here we are. That was 1981, and here we are 38 years later. She's still going strong. Yeah. Amen. in her 80s. See, God will speak things into your heart that don't make sense to your mind. Every thought will tell you there's no way you can get well. There's no way you can reach that level. There's no way you could ever be debt free. Do like Mary. Get in agreement with God. He can give you light without the sun. He can give you water without rain. Amen. He can give you healing where there's no source. In the natural, there's no explanation. But if you'll agree with what is in your spirit and declare what God says about you, God will do things that are unusual. He'll do things that are uncommon. Family, promotion, healing, provision, breakthroughs, things you can't explain. That's God giving you light without the sun. That's God making things happen that should not have happened. Don't talk yourself out of it. Talk yourself into it today, family. Like Mary. Yeah, this seems impossible, but be it unto me, even as you have said, Lord. I don't see a way, but I know you make a way. Well, I don't see a way. Do you know that Jesus' words caused a dead man named Lazarus to come back to life? His words caused leprosy to disappear. His words opened prison doors for Paul and Silas. His words are about to break chains that have held you back, open new doors, and thrust you further than what you ever imagined in your life, family. When the Israelites were headed to the promised land, they were in the desert. They had no water to drink. God told Moses, take out his staff and strike the rock. And when he did, water came gushing out. No explanation. In the middle of the desert, suddenly they had fresh, clean water. They were so thrilled. 39 years later, they're in the desert again. Same situation. No water. This time, God says to Moses in Numbers chapter 20, he said, as the people watch, I want you to speak to the rock. And it will pour, water will pour out of it. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. Just speak to the rock. Moses got out his staff and he struck the rock. He did it the old way. And water came out of it. But God said to him, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said, because you did not believe me, because you did not hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. Do you know that's why Moses didn't go into the promised land? Because he didn't do what God told him. If you read it from the contemporary Bible, it says, because you refuse to believe in my power, these people do not respect me, and so you will not be the ones to lead them into the land that I have promised. Now, family, this is symbolic, because the first time God told Moses to strike the rock, that represents the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, where people had to work hard for God's goodness, keep all the laws, sacrifice animals to cover their sins. If they didn't perform all these requirements, they wouldn't be blessed. But you see, the second time when God told Moses to speak to the rock, that represents the new covenant. That's where we live. Jesus is the rock where the water of life flows. Salvation, healing, freedom, abundance. Family, once Jesus was crucified in this symbolism, Moses didn't have to strike the rock again. When he struck it twice, God said, in effect, no, the price has been paid. Jesus has been crucified. Now we don't have to work for our salvation. We don't have to try to be good enough to earn God's love and earn God's forgiveness. The new covenant is not based off of our own works. It's based off of grace. You don't have to strike the rock, family. Just speak to it. Just declare your healing. Declare your freedom. Declare your dreams are coming to pass. Come on, give God some praise. Can you, is that water open or closed? Throw it to me if you don't mind, Bobby. Thank you. I'm parched. In Job 22, in verse 28, it says, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. Who declares it? You will declare it and it will be established. Jesus said in Matthew 17, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, notice that Jesus linked nothing being impossible to speaking to the mountain. Speaking. Here's the question. Are you living under the old covenant, thinking you've got to strike the rock, thinking you've got to make everything happen in your own strength? Or you living under that better covenant. Because in this new covenant, all you got to do is speak. Romans 10 verse 10 says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto. With my heart I believe, and with my mouth confession is made unto. Yeah. Amen? Maybe you've been working hard, doing all you can to keep things going. You know, your heart is to be your best, but it's a struggle. There are things that are stressing you out. But if you will start speaking to them, family, you're going to come into an anointing of ease where the water is going to flow without all the effort. Don't do like Moses, keep striking the rock. God is saying to us, I paid the price. Speak to it. Declare you're blessed. Declare you have favor. Declare that you healed. Declare that all your needs are supplied. You know, situations where you've worked and couldn't make a change, things will begin to supernaturally turn around as you begin to speak out and agree with what God says in His Word. Amen. Let me tell you what God promised you. It's en route. The healing is on the way. The promotion is on the way. The breakthrough, the ideas, the creativity. You are close to your miracle. Things you've been believing for, contracts, real estate, businesses, new houses. It is on the way in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, speak those unborn promises out of your spirit. The dreams you think are dead, you will not abort them. They are still alive. I see a birth in your future. New relationships, new opportunities, new levels in your future. In the name of Jesus. Listen, friends, the miracle's in your mouth. Get in agreement with God. I'm going to help you get started today. Is that okay? Say this. Say, I am blessed. I am prosperous. I am free. I have the favor of God. My children are mighty in the land. My dreams are coming to pass. New doors are opening for me. Problems are turning around. I'm excited about my future. I will become all that God has created me to be. In the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, give God praise today. Stay this with me too. I want you to say, I declare that this building Sunday morning is full. Say, I declare every seat is full. I declare new people are joining our church every week. Say, I declare I'm bringing them in. I'm bringing people to church every Sunday. Say, I'm inviting people every week. In the name of Jesus, say it again. I declare this service is full. In fact, we are so full, we're going to have another service. And then that's going to be so full, we're going to have another service. And that's going to be so filled, we're going to have to do another service. Say, we're going to have a Spanish service. It's going to be packed to the backs in the name of Jesus. Pastor Steve's going to preach in Spanish. You don't have that great faith, huh? Bow your head if you would for a moment. Thank you. Someone on the piano. Thank you. Right up there. Boom, 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 boom. Bow your head for a moment if you would. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the power that you've given us to declare and agree with you and say what you say about us. Lord, because as we say what you say, as we speak forth in faith, you said, with a heart man believes, and with a mouth confession is made unto. I thank you, Lord, for miracles that are being released in our lives and in this church in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, like the woman that had the issue of blood. And she said, if I can just touch Jesus' garment, I will be healed. I thank you, Lord, that as we declare our faith, as we declare your word, as we declare the things you're putting in our heart, I thank you, Father, that miracles shall occur. And we will give you all of the honor and all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you, just keep your eyes closed before we continue this morning. We always want to pray and give an opportunity for people to come into the kingdom of God and make sure that all is right between you and the Lord. And so I want to ask you this question. And the question is this. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven?
Can you say, Pastor Steve, I know all is right, all is well between me and the Lord? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, I hope so. If I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. And I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, are you sure if you were to die today that you would go to heaven? Because the good news, dear family, the good news is you can be sure. Let me tell you, heaven is real. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain. And there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you are, right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that is you, won't you quickly just slip your hand up high, lift it up high, because I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Just hold it up. Here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Thank you. Thank you. I want everyone who lifted your hand, raised your hand, please say this prayer with me this morning, church. Let's all say this together. Everybody, say, dear God, say, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood for me. Lord, you said that if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess with my mouth that he is Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. Say, I believe in my heart, Jesus, you've been raised from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Change me, Lord. Make me your child. Because I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender to you from today. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to serve you, and I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. God, you are my very own Father, and I am your very own child. I thank you that heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, give God thanks and praise for that. Most exciting thing that can ever happen is for someone to accept Jesus and join the kingdom of God. That we should get more excited about that than we do about anything else in our life. And so if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you, please, when we close the service in a couple of minutes, just remain where you are. Remain in your seat. We have a gift we want to give you before you go home today. And so I want to congratulate you. Greatest decision you can ever make. Amen. Welcome my wife as she comes. How many people are ready to give to the Lord today? How many people are ready to give to the Lord? Amazing. Some people listen the whole service, the whole word, and right at this, we have the offering time, then they shoot out the door. Praise God. How many love
Not
giving?
You.
How many givers in the house today?
Amen. Amen. You know, when we were in California, we were in a service on Tuesday night, and there was a lady behind me, and she was, some of the things she was saying, I laughed so hard. She kept saying, she said, you better say that again. And I was going to do it this morning, but I didn't know how well it would go down. But some of that stuff, you need to hear it again, right? You need to hear it because it changes everything. Well, this is a time in the service where we bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, right? And it's an opportunity for us to give, and it's an opportunity for us to increase our income as we sow into the kingdom of God. There's various ways to give, as you know, but not everybody knows. So the envelopes on your seat, there's a kiosk in the lobby, there's different ways that you can give. You can give online. You know, a number of people give reoccurring giving. On the online giving, if you want to tithe the regular amount every week, you can go ahead and set that up, and it's such a blessing because you don't even have to think about it. It just automatically reoccurs. But as we go to give today,
there's a passage of scripture that I read. There's an example of an offering that was given. Because we always want to give in line with the Word of God and see what God says about it. Amen? And so in 2 Corinthians 8, I'm going to read 5 verses from here. This is a story about an offering that was taken. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want to tell you about the grace of God." Say, "the grace of God," "which has been evident in the churches in Macedonia." And I love this. It says, "awakening in them a longing to contribute." Another translation says, "awakening, arousing in them the desire to give." Isn't that interesting that there is a grace of God that arouses in us a desire to give? Anybody ever felt that before? You feel a stirring to give. Amen. And it says, "for during an ordeal of severe distress, their abundant joy and their deep poverty together overflowed in the wealth of their lavish generosity. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily, begging us insistently for the privilege of participating in the service for the support of the saints in Jerusalem. Not only did they give materially as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us as his representatives by the will of God, disregarding their personal interests and giving as much as they possibly could." So isn't that interesting? These people, it says they were in deep poverty. They had their own needs, right? But they were begging for an opportunity to be allowed to give in the offering. Now, poor people don't go around begging to be able to give their money away. Isn't that true? Unless something has stirred and aroused it within them a desire to give. So something, the grace of God had stirred these people up. And you know, there'd be a lot of good people, even Christian people, that would say it is too harsh to ask anybody who has needs themselves to give. You know, a lot of times people who go into Africa and they say, "oh, well, don't receive an offering because these people don't have much." But God may, God wants to do something in them. So it's not too harsh. God, I want to show you why God stirred and aroused their desire to give. It was because there was a famine in the land. Just one more story I'll tell you. In the book of Genesis 26, there's a story of Isaac that was Abraham's son. And Isaac was living in a land and there was a famine. So there was need and there wasn't enough food, all of that in that land. So his first instinct was to leave there and go to Egypt. But God said to him, "no, don't leave here. Stay right where you are." And then the Bible says that he began to plant. And you know, you don't, in the natural, you don't plant when it's famine because it's going to be a waste of your seed. Isn't that true? In the natural. But God had him stay there and plant in the middle of that famine. Just like that in the Corinth church, when he aroused those people in the middle of poverty to give, he gets Isaac to begin sowing. And the Bible says that he reaped 100-fold in that year. And he did so well, and they found water. It was amazing, and the fruit trees began to blossom again, and the crops began to grow. And so the people in the land, you can read it in Jewish history, they thought, okay, well, our problem's over, the famine's over. Let's just get rid of Isaac. Isaac now must leave our land. But when Isaac left, the crops died, and the fruit dried up, the water went away. And so they realized that the blessing was on Isaac. You see, the purpose of that sowing was to help those people in famine. So I said all of that to say this, that God, the grace of God that arouses in you the desire to give, it is to cause blessing in your life and in the lives of those around you. Because they realized that with Isaac, they were like, hey, Isaac went away and we started having all the same old problems and the lack that we had before. The blessing is on him. And they called him back, made a covenant with him. And while they're still making the covenant, they ran in and said, we've hit water again. So where you are, when you sow, and when you give, and when you tithe, the way God stirs in your heart, it causes your life to blossom, and it'll bless those around you. All those around you, it doesn't matter if there's famine all over, but God will bless those around you as a result. The fruit will come from your giving. Amen? So as we're ready to give, just grab that in your hand. Sorry to talk so long, but sometimes just those truths come to me and I want to share it with you. I hope I can impart that way. As you prepare to give, we appreciate your faithfulness. We've seen God arouse a desire to give. And it's a blessing to watch, and it's a blessing to all of those around you. Amen? So let's just hold that in our hand. Those are the watching online, you go ahead. You can just click give online, and you can join in with us. We're going to add our faith to our giving today. Amen? Father God, we thank you. Say this. Say, thank you, Father, that as I give, and that as I bring my tithe to you, that your word is true over my life. Say, thank you, Father, that you take pleasure in prospering me. Thank you that the windows of heaven are open over my life. Thank you that as I sow seed, I reap a great harvest that blesses my life and the life of those around me. Say, every need is met, every bill is paid, in Jesus' name, amen. Speak it out of your mouth, right? Ushers, you can go ahead and receive the offering. And Pastor Steve, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to mention before we go home this morning, and that is that on this Friday night at 7 p.m., we're going to be having a media training for our media team. And if you would like to get involved and help in media, we do need some extra volunteers in our media department. Now, the media department, they run the screens and the lights and the sound and the cameras, and there's so much that they do. So anyway, Friday night, we're going to be 7 p.m. We have a training meeting for media, and you're welcome to come and join us, and we'll, you know, come join the team, and we'll train you. And then finally, during the month of March, on Wednesday nights, we're going to be running our growth track. This is our new membership class. It's 4 sessions, and I want to encourage you, please, if you haven't signed up, to come and do the growth track, to sign up today. Where are our ushers at with our growth track cards? I said, where are our ushers with the growth track cards? We did meet and talk about this last week. If you need a growth track, if you haven't signed up to do the growth track, please take a card today. Raise your hand. Nick will get a card to you. Fill it out. I really want every person in this church to come and do the growth track. It's a brand new membership class, and we would love for you to be there. Amen. All right, Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for guiding and protecting us this week. We thank you, Lord, that your mercy and goodness follows us all the days of our life. And we thank you that as we go home today, Lord, thank you for using us this week to be a blessing, to reach out to someone else, to encourage someone else, to minister to someone else. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody. Have a great week. God bless everybody.